The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Hey, 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 welcome to Pick Six Podcast, everybody. It is Tuesday. This is the Week 11 Betting Trends Show. It's me, Ryan Wilson, joined by the illustrious Tyler Sully Sullivan. Sully, how are you doing, my man?
What's going on? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. So let's see what we got going on here. We're going to talk a little betting trends this week. And first, I'll get like your 15-second thought on what transpired last night in the NFC East. Any, as a fan of the Patriots, you've seen that team be extremely successful over the last 20 years. And, you know, sometimes you lose these sort of weird games in the middle of the season. Do you feel any differently about the Eagles now that they're 8-1?
I don't know if I necessarily feel any different because they're 8-1. And like you said, you know, you see all this all the time, these primetime divisional opponents. It always feels like those games are more close than your typical just kind of 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. kickoff type of a game. But for me, what's concerning about Philadelphia, and it's something that I said after the Houston game, it does feel like you can pressure the quarterback and it feels like you can run on this team. Those are two things that aren't great when you start talking about the playoffs. I mean, if you look at maybe let's just look at a Minnesota team. They can run the football with Dalvin Cook. They can pressure the quarterback a little bit. Certainly the 49ers can do that with Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, and what they have coming off the edge there with Bosa. So that to me is what's concerning. Not necessarily that they lost this game. It's the way in which that they struggled a little bit against Houston last Thursday a couple Thursdays ago, and the way in which they lost this game against Washington where Brian Robinson was able to run all over them. So for me, that's what's concerning. Not necessarily that they lost this game. They should be fine. They'll probably still get the number one seed in the NFC. But that to me is what's concerning when we look at them in terms of a Super Bowl candidate.
All right, you mentioned the Vikings and their ability to run the ball, and what sticks out when you say that is Dalvin Cook ripping off that 81-yarder, I believe, late in the third quarter that got the ball rolling for the Vikings in Buffalo last Sunday in that most improbable of comebacks. I mean, that was crazy on any number of levels. This week, the Cowboys are going to Minnesota. The Cowboys just lost in Green Bay in a game that felt a lot like what we saw last night with Washington and Philadelphia. As we sit here, you see there, if you watch on YouTube, Dallas is -1. Interesting. Over under 47.5. What are your initial thoughts on this game played up in Minnesota?
Yeah, really interesting that all of a sudden you see a team like Dallas. It was originally a pick 'em. Dallas was a 2-point. It didn't move all the way to Dallas laying 2 points. Now it's at 1. It just feels a little fishy to me that all of a sudden, you know, Minnesota's not like it's not SoFi Stadium. I mean, that is a place where Vikings fans show up. This is going to be a legitimate home field advantage for Minnesota. So all of a sudden, them now, all of a, you know, at 1 point getting 2 points, you're flirting almost with a field goal. Now it's obviously just 1, basically. You know, I guess you're just avoiding a tie at that point. That's a little interesting. Now it could be that you're coming off a letdown after that, just, you know, emotional win in Buffalo, and you're able to pull that one out. Dallas in Lambeau, kind of a little bit more of a desperate team at this point, wanting to kind of fix that thing. But ultimately, I still don't know if we can doubt the Vikings at this point. Like, I don't know if we can really look at them and say, all right, you know, as much as I've been a big kind of critic on Kirk Cousins saying, well, you know, when the lights get bright, yada, 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 he'll turn into a pumpkin. I don't know. That was a good spot for him last week. And so I don't know if I can doubt them much anymore. And when we start looking at it, I mean, the Cowboys have rebounded nicely off of losses. I don't know if that's necessarily what is moving the line in their direction, but they are 4-0 against the spread in their last four games after a straight up loss. So that does trend favorably to them. And the Vikings, over the last month, though, they've been 3-0-1 against the spread in the last four games. So something's going to give here.
Yeah, you talk about Kirk Cousins and a pumpkin. Turns out he's a pumpkin that plays pretty good when the at least this season. Because I mentioned this on the Pick Six podcast last night. And like you, I'm not sold yet on Kirk Cousins. I know Vikings fans get upset when I say that. But here's reality. He's 2-10 on Monday Night Football, 3-5 on Thursday Night Football, and 1-3 in the playoffs. So he's a better version of Andy Dalton, basically, once it gets dark out. But again, they finally got that signature win on the road against the Bills, and you can make all the excuses you want about Josh Allen being hurt or whatever. They won that football game under Mike Zimmer. I don't think they do. Our guy Stephen O at Sportsline, who runs millions and millions of simulations, notes that Dallas' run defense isn't great. They're allowing 4.8 yards per carry and 143 yards on average. Dalvin Cook will be tough to stop. We just talked about that. Dallas also allows nearly one more yard per pass attempt on the road, so that'll be something to keep an eye on as well. Love it. Next up.
Just really quickly, I was just looking at it here, too. When we're talking about, you know, the laying a point here or getting a point here with Minnesota at home, and as much as we're saying that's a home field advantage, they're 500 against the spread at home this season, 2-2. So as much as we're like, hey, listen, they're playing great, they're a 500 team to bet on when they're at home this year.
Yeah, and Stephen O actually notes the Vikings are 4-5 against the spread versus teams with winning records like the Cowboys. So, interesting. That line is interesting. If I were doing the wins over Wilson line, I would probably have many like minus 2.5 or something. That might be too much. Minus 2. But anyway, these aren't my lines. All right. Next game. The Baker Mayfield-led Carolina Panthers, after headbutting literally everyone on the team yesterday with no helmet on, they are going to Baltimore. The spread is minus 12, over under 43.5. I don't know if that's a Baker Mayfield spread, what the PJ Walker and or Sam Darnold spread might look like. I think it's just an overall Carolina is dysfunctional spread. Minus 12, are you at all afraid of that if you're thinking about the Ravens?
A little bit, and I don't know if it necessarily has anything to do with Mayfield. I mean, just straight up, he's 3-5 against the Ravens in his career, obviously playing with the Cleveland Browns in the AFC North, 58.4 completion percentage, 83.2 passer rating against them. Just has been an okay, not great quarterback when you're talking about going up against the Baltimore Ravens. The one thing, I'm trying to pull it up quickly here, is that I think that we would all look at the Baltimore Ravens, okay, coming off a bye. They've had so much rest going into this game because they played a Thursday, then they played on a Monday, and then they had their bye. And so, like, there was a ton of time for this team to get healthy. And when you think of John Harbaugh, a John Harbaugh-led team, you think that they're, you know, tremendous off the bye. Hasn't actually really been the case. Over their last five games following a bye, they're 1-4 against the spread. In this season, or at least, you know, in their last five home games, they're 0-4-1 against the spread. They haven't covered a game at home this season. So when you're telling me that type of a trend for a team like the Ravens, who are now laying double-digit points, I know the Panthers haven't been great and Baker Mayfield's not a particularly good quarterback this year, but is this one of those games where Donta Foreman just starts to run? It's a close ball control type of a game and the Ravens win this one by like 7. And you're like, okay, well, you know, I'm sitting pretty here with 12 points in my back pocket.
This feels sort of like the San Francisco Chargers game where I think that got up to -8 at one point for San Francisco and the Chargers kept it close. It also feels like last night's game where that was -11, I think, at one point, Eagles favorite over Washington. And that was a close call. Stephen O is an admitted Ravens fan. And the first thing he writes in his notes is all caps: Baker Mayfield helps Carolina only lose by 10 and cover. And the thinking is Mayfield had a few good moments in the second half of games this season. And I think the most important part to underline is that Panthers have nothing to lose. Baker can go out there and wing it like crazy. He might throw three interceptions. He might throw four touchdowns. And to your point, it's unclear. The Ravens do play better with more rest, which probably holds for every single NFL team on the planet, except for probably the Steelers. So I don't know if that's enough to overcome a team that doesn't care. And it's always funny, like by week six or seven, some of these teams that are clearly out of the playoff race start not caring and playing better. If they just play like that weeks one through five or six, they might have had a better opportunity.
And the other things that we obviously need to watch with the Ravens, too, is the status of Mark Andrews. Is he going to be healthy enough to play? I believe John Harbaugh gave an encouraging update the other day. I don't think it was a definitive he is going to play, but it seemed a little bit more positive that Andrews might be a factor. Obviously huge when you talk about Lamar Jackson in terms of his effectiveness passing the football. Isaiah Likely, it was a nice guy over the summer, and he caught that touchdown last week or whenever it was a couple weeks ago, but wasn't particularly effective. Rashad Bateman's out for the year. So if you're able to put Mark Andrews back on that offense, that certainly helps them. And as much as I question the Ravens and their ability to cover in this game, laying double digits, We should point out that the Carolina Panthers have not been a good team to bet on the road either. They're not a good team just in general, but they're 1-7 against the spread in their last eight road games. So something's got to give here. I may lean a little bit more towards the Panthers getting 12 points, but still, that's a tough one when you start to look at that trend too.
I think the takeaway is, if you don't have to bet it, maybe just...
This could also be a stay away.
Yeah, because this line is pretty well... place it feels like. Quickly, I'll ask this because I said this and Prince got mad at me. Is Justin Fields the best running quarterback in the NFL? And I mentioned that because we're talking about Lamar Jackson, of course.
I mean, right now, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about 140 plus rushing yards and how many games consecutively? I mean, it's just, he's insane. And I'll pat myself on the back. This was even before a few weeks ago. We had to do bold predictions for the second half. I said he was going to literally run away to be the best quarterback from his 2021 draft class.
Great call. And slap in the face of McCorkle Jones, but that's a conversation for another time. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and hit one more team and get you out of here.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin. What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan? What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, all right, all right. Next game, Sully. The aforementioned Bears and Justin Fields are traveling to Atlanta to go up against the OG running quarterback, Marcus Mariota, who will not be benched, according to Arthur Smith, who, you know, Arthur Smith looks like a guy that works at a hardware store and knows everyone in town and is a quite affable gentleman. Turns out he gets angry in these press conferences when people ask him about Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder should they switch positions on the depth chart. In any case, Chicago and Atlanta. Atlanta's -3, over under 50. You know, like 2 weeks ago, I would say crush the Falcons on this line because both teams were going in different directions. Atlanta good, Chicago bad. It feels like the script has been flipped. What do you like here? We talked about Fields. We know what Mariota runs. He doesn't throw the ball a lot. Cordell Patterson's back. I don't know if you want to say they're getting Kyle Pitts and Drake London more involved. They're blocking more. But what do you feel about this?
Yeah, and it's crazy. Like you said earlier in the year, you would hammer the Falcons in this one, and you'd be right, because I think they started the year off 6-0 against the spread. It was something. They were undefeated through the first basically 6 weeks of the season, or roughly. Awesome bet. We're the team. They kind of reminded me of the Detroit Lions last year, where you're like, okay, it's just an automatic bet. They seem to cover. They seem to play hard under Arthur Smith. Physical, run the football. Hasn't been the case over the last few weeks. They're 0-4 against the spread in their last four games. They've just been a tough team to really back. And I think part of it is the play of Marcus Mariota. So I do think that the conversations about Desmond Ridder are rightfully so. Arthur Smith, like you were saying, is not going to make that move for a multitude of reasons. But I think the main one being is they are technically still in it in terms of the playoff picture. They have three more weeks till their bye. If they lose all these next three games, I think that you might have that conversation be a little bit more legitimized. But when we look at this game, the look ahead on this was Falcons -4.5, and it's quickly starting to move in favor of Chicago. It wouldn't surprise me if this gets under the 3 points here. That's a critical number. I would take the Bears at this point with 3 points, with a field goal in my pocket, just the way both of these teams have been playing. Fields has just been out of his mind in terms of not only running the football, but his ability to run the football has opened things up. Passing, Cole Kmet's been a good option for him, particularly not even in the red zone. I think he caught like a 50-yard touchdown last week. He's been a go-to target for them. So for me, I like the way that Chicago's quarterback's playing. I don't like the way Atlanta's quarterback's playing. And if you're telling me I can get the better quarterback with a field goal in his back pocket, I'm taking that every single time.
Yeah, it's funny reading Stephen O's comments, and he says in all caps, Atlanta takes advantage of a bad Bears defense, which is true, but he also notes this is not an A-rated pick because Mariota has been making horrible decisions and may get benched, which is basically what you're just saying there. Yeah. Youngway Koo is missing uncharacteristic kicks and extra points. That's why he was shown the door in San Diego / L.A. So that's the problematic part. I'm with you. Like, I'm buying in, and maybe it's recency bias, but recently, Justin Fields has been awesome, and I'm buying into that. Even when he threw that pick six last week to Jeff Okuda, he came back with that 70-something yard scramble to get those 7 points right back. There is one other quarterback, I guess Kyler, if you want to throw him in there, but Lamar Jackson can do that. Otherwise, it's Justin Fields and no one else.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that one. And again, it just feels like these teams are trending in two different directions. Yes, Chicago kind of stripped things down on the defensive side of the ball, trading away a bunch of pieces at the deadline. But the way that Fields has been playing, it just seems like this team is kind of rolling right now, finding its identity. And I don't really love the way that Mariota has been playing. Yes, the conditions were bad last week. There was rain. There was all that kind of stuff. But just the decisions alone were head-scratching, to say the least. I mean, obviously, he had one interception, should have probably had like three, especially on the one where he kind of fell to the ground, rolled, and still hucked the ball up in the air. It might be one of the worst throws I've seen, not only this season.
What do you think was going through his mind when he was about to go down and said, you know, I don't know if he's instinctual or not, why would he throw that ball? Like, what could be the only rational explanation for doing that?
I couldn't tell you, unless he's thinking that he's closer to the sideline and he wants to throw it away and not
take the sack. That's the best explanation I've heard. That actually makes some sense. I was going to go with, let's see if I can throw an interception on this.
Yeah. It's just like, you know what? Let's see what happens. But well, I think that might have been the only thing that he could be thinking
that's
of.
That's a good one.
But other than that, and quickly before we wrap up here, there is one more game that I think that we should hit on. And ooh, it's kind of in that similar vein that we were talking about with the Falcons and the Panthers last week. There is some significant weather in the Buffalo-Cleveland game this weekend. In
3 hours from here.
The National Weather Service, so you know this, the National Weather Service already issued a winter storm watch starting on Thursday. It's going to go through Sunday, all the way through the Bills-Browns game. You're talking forecasted. Again, we're recording this on a Tuesday, so things can certainly change. But you're talking about a forecasted 1 to 2 feet of snow over the course of that time. It's going to be 28 degrees roughly in terms of the weather there. It's going to be cold. It's going to be snowy. And we're already starting to see that impacting the betting markets here. If you look at what this line was just on Monday morning in terms of the over-under, because that's clearly what's going to impact this. The Bills were a 9.5-point favorite. I think right now it fell a point and a half. So the Bills are now an 8-point favorite here. But you look at how fast this line is starting to fall. It was on Monday morning. Let's just call it at noontime on Monday. It was 47, the total on this. Now, as we're standing here on Tuesday at around, you know, 145, it's 43, 43 and a half. It's kind of looking at. So it's dropping considerably. That's one thing to kind of keep an eye on here. As we watch this weather, try to see if you can snip this number at a good clip here.
Yeah, I'm laughing because as you were talking about that, and that's a real concern. I've seen up to 30 inches potentially. Never mind being in the stadium. The Browns might struggle to get to the stadium from Cleveland, even though you can throw a rock and hit Cleveland from Buffalo. But I'm laughing because I was reminded of the 2009 game when the Titans came to New England in the snow game. The conditions were terrible, and New England dropped a 59 burger on them. I would imagine they still covered. I don't know what the over-under was in that game, but 59 to nothing feels like a cover. Kerry Collins and Vince Young went 2 of 14. Meanwhile, Tom Brady just put it up 34 times. So I wonder what this might look like. The conditions, clearly snow has an effect on every team except for that Patriots team. I would imagine that the numbers are going to be much lower score-wise, but this is just maybe the anomaly there.
And one other thing is interesting, too. I think that you would look at both of these clubs and say, all right, well, they're both from the north. It's the Cleveland, Buffalo. They're used to this kind of weather, at least, maybe not playing in feet of snow, but cold environments, snow, and you'd be used to that. I would push back on Cleveland for this instance and this instance only, because you look at what they had to deal with last week. You're talking about an absolute super swing in weather. They were playing down in Miami against the Dolphins, and the Dolphins historically love to put the opposing teams on a specific sideline because of the way the sun goes into Hard Rock Stadium. They're more often than not in the shade, and the visiting team is in the sun. I was watching that game, the pregame, or the sideline report was noting that it was over 100 degrees at one point on the Brown sideline. So you're talking about a Browns team that 7 days ago when they get into Buffalo, they were playing in 100-degree weather, and now all of a sudden you're in a frozen tundra around 28 degrees in a blizzard. That's got to do something to you mentally. As much as you are used to playing in Cleveland in the cold weather, that has to be a crazy swing that impacts you in some fashion.
Never mind the mental impact of just playing in Cleveland for the Browns. I mean, yeah, that's a whole other conversation. All right, a couple quick hitters here, Sully, and then we'll get out to you. Is it worth putting money on Justin Fields for MVP? We just talked about Justin a little bit. Let's see. What is he right now? I'm trying to find him.
He's probably going to be down there. I mean,
he's down there. I'm scrolling. Where's Justin? I don't even see him.
Let me pull it up. If he's not on there, then I don't know how he can.
Yeah, maybe you have to go to the.
Let's see.
Oh, there he is. Is that right? He's plus 50,000. So he's at the very bottom, tied with Tannehill, Goff, Kelsey, McCorkle, and Bosa. Now, of those names, I love Justin Fields. There it is, way down at the bottom. Nada got it. I'm not willing to go that. I mean, look, I'll put $10 down on this and feel good about it. But I don't know if I go much more than that. Tell me what you think about that, and then give me your dark horse MVP candidate, maybe closer to the top of that list.
Yeah, I don't know if I would love him for that, just because you're talking about really swinging things. I mean, there's 3-7 right now. There's no real shot that they're making a run at the division title with.
And so that's an important point, because Breach always brought up last year when I was on the Justin Herbert bandwagon, typically MVP candidates win the division. Yeah. So that's a wrap for them. In fact, I guess you would make the case quite easily that Kirk Cousins is a better choice, even though I don't think anyone would build a team around Kirk Cousins over Justin Fields. Maybe they would. I don't know.
Yeah, that to me just seems a little bit too far-fetched. But you never know. Maybe if all of a sudden he lights it up and continues to break these records, and if he does, I think he is on track to break Lamar Jackson's rushing record. I believe that's true, or at least he's sniffing in the ballpark now for how well he's played. I'd have to look really quickly, but I don't know. Is that all of a sudden offensive player of the year status? That might be something that you kind of look at there, and that's kind of maybe what you look at in terms of Justin Fields if you want to get a long shot for a futures award. But to me, if we're looking at MVP, the one that I really like, and I don't think it's obviously not going to happen because he's not a quarterback. A quarterback, so it's not going to happen. But Tyreek Hill to me at 50-1, and even those odds aren't particularly great right now. I feel like you could have got it you probably could have got that 101 not too long ago. But to me, he is somebody who I think makes a lot of sense, because I think that you look at what the Miami Dolphins are doing and how much Tua Tagovailoa has developed into a solid quarterback this year. I think you put that praise on Tyreek Hill and his presence. And when you start to make the case of most valuable, because we always try to parse this, That, to me, is the biggest difference for Miami, is the addition of Tyreek Hill and what he's done to that offense is more valuable and more significant. It contributes to what that leap that we're seeing from Tua Tagovailoa has been. So that, to me, would be the guy. Outside of that, I mean, maybe, I mean, I still don't think, I still don't think, I think Geno would be a decent one if all of a sudden they pull away and win that division.
So Geno, Tua, and Jalen. Tua and Jalen are, Tua's plus 500, Jalen's plus 600, and Geno's plus 6,000. Of those three, who you want to ride with, as the kids say?
I'd probably ride with Jalen Hurts, just because I feel like I am confident, you know, obviously they just lost, but I'd be confident that they could get the number one seed in the conference. He'll put up respectable numbers.
And he didn't play poorly yesterday. You could point to Tua playing poorly when, of course, he had the concussion issues. Geno didn't play great in the first half in Germany. Jalen has at least been consistent. I think I'm with you on that.
And the other one, too, I mean, let's not, I know that this is a buy low. He's got the second best odds, but this could be a buy low opportunity for Josh Allen too at plus 500. Bad couple of weeks. He's had some turnovers, clearly dealing with the elbow, but they're still 6-3. And you could see a path where all of a sudden things start to click again. And he looks like the Josh Allen that we've all seen. And again, I don't think he was particularly bad in that game against Minnesota. He had some timely turnovers that were awful, obviously. But when we're talking about the elbow, I didn't think it impacted him too much. And he was still able to be effective running the football. So if all of a sudden he gets healthy and things start to click for him, I could easily see this turning into a Patrick Mahomes plus 120 and Josh Allen plus 135 or something like that. And meanwhile, you can get him right now at plus 500. So maybe there's a buy low opportunity here for Allen.
Yeah. And if, God forbid, Allen is out for an extended period, just hit up Tyler Sully on Twitter and he will reimburse you. All right. What about, is there a team that strikes you that might be the best value to win their division?
To win
As
their
you said
division.
Here, Tennessee's minus 650. Duh. Philly's minus 400. Dallas is plus 500. The Giants are plus 900. The Giants are 7-2. Tampa's going to win that division, minus 430. So the Ravens are minus 550. The Bengals are plus 480. Now, the Bengals are on the outside looking into the playoff race as we sit here. I think they're going to make a run, and that's not me being brainwashed by Breach. The Vikings are minus 6,000. That's over. Mm-hmm. What about the Dolphins at plus 230?
That's the team I would probably look at. Miami. It's, you know, as much as I just said, you know, you could maybe buy low on Josh Allen, mm-hmm. but there's also that other side of the coin where maybe things do kind of sputter. This is a team that I talked about with Will the other day, does just struggle mightily to win these one-score games. They're 2-3 this season in one-score games. They've lost two straight one-score games. And so if all of a sudden they keep falling on that other side of the coin and they start losing these games, and if Josh Allen's forced to miss time, Miami can be a little frisky here. I believe that am I wrong to say that they already have a win against Buffalo, or is that did I miss that one?
No, they won that. That I think Tua.
Yeah, they won back in week three. Yeah,
Tua came out and came back in that game. I believe that's the game that's the initial.
Yep. Situation. And so obviously they have one more game left on the schedule with Buffalo, but right now they own the head-to-head tiebreaker, significant. And if all of a sudden you're starting to talk about the Bills not being 100% healthy, they're rolling right now. The Dolphins are. They seem to be like a team that could crash the party in the AFC playoff picture. I've said that this could be a team that just, they do play a style of football that translates well to the postseason, where they can run the football now with Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert. They added a pass rusher in Bradley Chubb. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about what Tyreek Hill does, and Jaylen Waddle as well, I mean, both those guys are absolute speedsters. How much that stretches things down the field, it just changes the entire way that you game.
I mean, Sherfield is balling out. He's also a beneficiary of having Jalen and Tyreek out there, not to mention the Tua point you made earlier. The only thing I wonder about, and Stephen O made this point, so I can't call it on my own. I want to see how, and if they win the division, not an issue. I want to see what happens when they have to play in cold weather. We just talked about the Bills and the Browns this weekend. They still have to go to... They go to Buffalo, I think week 15. I think 2 weeks later, they go to the Patriots. So the conditions might not be great, and we'll see how that works out. But, hey, running games travel, defenses travel, and they have both of those things. We know with Mike McDaniel dialing up the runs, and, of course, you mentioned Bradley Chubb as the new addition there. Hopefully that helps the edge rush situation.
One other thing quickly, too, if we're just talking about divisions, I mean, let's not disrespect the New York Giants.
Yeah.
They're in second place in that division, yet they have the third best odds in that division at plus 900. I mean, we got to at least point the fact out that they are 7-2 on the season, only one game back of Philadelphia. They're a game up on Dallas. I mean, we do have to point that out. They are close. And at plus 900 for a second place team, only one game back, that's one to look at as well.
Absolutely. Brian Daboll, coach of the year candidate for sure. All right, that's a wrap on Week 11 Trends. Thanks for joining me, Ryan Wilson, and you, Tyler Sully Sullivan. We'll catch you guys in the flip-flop.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.